What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Post Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network. He is Andrew Destin. I am Noah Hiles. We're here to talk some Pirates baseball. And as always, this show is brought to you by the North Shore Tavern. If you love baseball, you'll love the North Shore Tavern. The interior is wall-to-wall Pirates. There are appetizers, entrees, cocktails, and of course, steak and seafood on a sizzling lava stone. Open every day, the North Shore Tavern across from PNC Park is Pittsburgh's home for steak on a stone. Andrew, Pirates just conclude a four-game series against the first-place Milwaukee Brewers. A lot of good in this, but also just a lot of bad. This was a series the Pirates split two wins in the first two games, two losses in the back end. And it's probably a series they should have won at least three, if not swept. They got great pitching again in three games, and they got really good offense in the fourth game. But weren't able to take advantage of everything. Just want your overall takeaway before we get into the good, bad, and ugly.
Yeah, I think on the outside looking in, you'd say, okay, you split with the NL Central leading Brewers, a team that I believe came into the series either 9-3 on the road or 10-2 on the road. I mean, you would absolutely take a split, right? It's more right. Just this is your classic case of, man, you wish you wanted more. You wish you could have had more. And there were so many things left on the table there, so many opportunities missed. Whether that's defensively, hitting, pitching, I know we'll get into all of it, but this is just another example, and I know you and I were talking about this a little bit before recording. It's just these are examples of wins they're letting slip away from them that, again, it's only April, it's overreaction season, but when we're talking about games down the line that teams wish that they had, these two are prime examples of ones that you kind of feel like, man, those would be really helpful for further down the line, especially against a divisional opponent.
Yep, that's what I was going to add, especially against a divisional opponent where this is – it's still not out of the question that, you know, this team's going to be battling. You know, there's not a lot of separation in this division right now in the standings, and I expect it to kind of stay that way for a while. And you look, I mean, this team could be a lot better than what it is right now record-wise if it just didn't make a couple mistakes. But let's get into it. Good, bad, and the ugly. I'll actually start here. We're going to start with the good, and I think the primary reason the team won their first two games of the series was the pitching combination of Jared Jones and Bailey Falter. What a unique duo this has become in the starting rotation. Two guys who, honestly, they were the two that no one even expected to be in the starting rotation coming into spring training, right? Like, not a lot of people expected Jared Jones to make the opening day roster. And everyone thought Bailey Falter either didn't deserve to get in or should have been in the bullpen or whatever. The way these two pair on back-to-back days, Andrew, is really unique. You got both of them love to use the fastball. One of their fastballs is a lot faster than the other. One's a righty, one's a lefty. And it's kind of like a yin-yang scenario that has been incredibly beneficial for the Pirates. And it's allotted for a lot of success. It's been really cool to watch kind of unfold. Shelton's talked about it. Bailey's talked about it. And you know, obviously the starting rotation is going to change throughout points of this season because of at least one guy they're going to want to call up sooner rather than later. But I think this was a great decision on Shelton's end at the start of the year to pair these two back to back. And I think they'd be crazy to break that up. I don't know where you put Skeens in, but you got to make sure that I think these two stay together because you see how well Falter does against a lineup that just got done facing a 100-mile-per-hour fireballer the night prior. So that's my good. What's yours?
Yeah, for me, I mean, I'm going to go back to the offensive side, and I'll say Andrew McCutchen in the leadoff spot. This is something that, you know, he talked about, Derek Shelton talked about at the beginning of the series of, you know, hey, this is something that's going to happen, is going to get bumped up to the leadoff spot. Obviously, Kutch has done it before. His first stop here in Pittsburgh, that was something he did a lot when he first came up. And promptly, what does he do? Hits leadoff home runs in back-to-back games. So makes Shelton look smart, makes McCutchen live up to his end of the bargain, his word of trying to be productive in that spot. But, and this is probably going to come across pretty cliche on my end, but just professional at-bats. I know that goes without saying from Andrew McCutchen, but just what he's providing in that leadoff spot is sorely needed for this offense from a trickle-down standpoint of a guy who's going to go up there, see 6, 7, 8 pitches. But it's not from a standpoint of being hesitant to swing the bat or wanting to get down in the count 2 strikes and then foul some junk off. It's like, you know, this is still a guy who has a lot of respect around the league. He's going to be pitched differently, and that has an effect throughout the rest of the lineup. So, you know, by all means, At this point in his career, Andrew McCutchen is not going to steal 30 bases. He's not going to be a speed threat leading things off the top of the table. But in terms of just quality ABs and production recently, that might be something the Pirates have, at least for facing against lefties moving forward, because eventually you'd like to get O'Neill Cruz probably back up there if you're Derek Shelton. But for the time being, Kutch has been a good stopgap there at the leadoff spot.
Absolutely. We'll get into the bad now. Again, I'll start us off. My bad is the Henry Davis situation. And I thought Henry was a little better at the plate this series. Not remarkably better. But I think he's in a tough spot right now. I think it's pretty clear who's going to be heading to Indianapolis whenever Yasmani Grandal gets activated off the IL. I mean, this was the series where Shelton went on record. He said in a press conference, yeah, we wanted Joey to play back-to-back days. Like, you don't typically say that about a established number two catcher in the hierarchy. You say that about a guy that you want to see more because you believe in him. And then Joey Bart continued his case today with a 3-run home run in the first inning. I mean, he's providing offense, and, you know, I guess Henry's been better defensively. I think that's probably just a product of Bart still learning the staff. But this is a team that needs offense right now, and Bart's given it to him. He's tied for the team lead in home runs. So it's tough for Hank because, I mean, I don't know what you do with him. Looking at this, just the wider scope of things, obviously you're not going to give up on the guy. But with Joey Bart doesn't have any options, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, so you lose Bart if you DFA him. So he'd have to be really bad. If Bart continues to play well, then you got to choose to either carry three catchers at some point this year, or you got to say goodbye to either Grandal or Bart. And maybe you could flip one of them in a trade at the deadline or something. And that's just short term. Long term, you add Andy Rodriguez into the mix. So it's a tough scenario. I think that, you know, a lot of people were high on Hank coming out of spring. I was one of them. I thought that this guy really was going to turn a corner, and maybe he will still. It's only April, but right now he has not performed well, and just his overall setting in this organization it's not looking good. I don't know how else to put it. Andrew, what's your bad?
Yeah, I mean, just to quickly add on there for Henry, too, I'd say the biggest takeaway I've had as well is, you know, there have been improvements defensively, but receiving is still a struggle with him, which is, you know, indicative in defensive runs saved, routes above average, whichever metric you want to use. It's, you know, defensively, it's been an improvement, but I have to wonder at some point, is that coming at the expense of offense, just given how much time he's putting in behind the plate, how good he wants to be there? That's where my mind goes. I bring all of that up because that's in the general theme of my bad, which is defense. During Thursday's game, we saw, you know, I don't believe there were any errors in the game. Correct me if I'm wrong there, but there were a couple of missed catches, Jack Suwinski and Brian Reynolds, on admittedly tougher plays, but ones that were very much still catchable balls. And that goes to the general theme of this team defensively just hasn't been good this season. If you're an outs above average guy, I am. I use that with Baseball Savant. Only one team has more, you know, negative runs or fewer runs saved, however you wanted to phrase it. Than the Pirates. The Marlins are at minus 18. The Pirates are at minus 8. There are 28 teams above both of those squads. So, listen, Derek Shelton's been surprised. Ben Charrington's been surprised. They've both said it on record in various formats, saying that defensively they've got to tighten up. They've got to be better. We still got a lot of way to go. It's still April. But this team is starting to show its cards and say that, hey, defensively, we just might not be that great. And I think that's what you're looking at with this Pirates team, is they're probably going to inch closer to the mean, inch closer to average, but I think we're putting the horse ahead of the cart if we're saying that, or the cart ahead of the horse if we're saying that this is going to be an above average defensive team, or that's going to be some strength of this team, because I think so far it's shown that it's anything but that.
Yeah, and to piggyback off of what you were saying, for my ugly, this guy had a horrible defensive game today, in my opinion. Rowdy Tellez is my ugly. We'll start with his defense today. There was the no throw to third, which I'm sorry, I just don't get. As a guy who's played a lot of Major League Baseball, he saw it. I don't understand why. He had two throws to make, too. He could have thrown the ball to second, which would have been the wrong play, but they still would have gotten out there. But for him to hesitate and allow those runners to both advance into scoring position is a choice. I don't get what went into that. I mean, he just kind of maybe had a mental lapse. And then the other one with the throw from Triolo, where he just did not have his foot on the bag. You know, Shelton defended that. And I'm not sitting here saying I know more about baseball than Derek Shelton. I don't. I mean, the guy's a major league manager. But I do disagree with his analysis on that play. He said, you know, he wants Rowdy to make sure that doesn't get past him. Well, how about you make sure you don't let it get past you by just scooping it like a big league first baseman? Can you not catch a ball off a hop? That would be my, you know, 2 cents on that play where you let a runner get on base. So and that's just a microcosm of Rowdy's issues. The bigger problem is, of course, his lack of production at the plate. 1-for-19 in 7 starts this homestand. This is a guy that they brought in to be a left-handed power hitter, to take advantage of this short porch in right field to, you know, be a consistent producer in the middle of the lineup. And Andrew, we're heading into the final. We are in the final full week of April. We're heading to May soon, and the guy has 1 extra base hit.
Yeah.
And that was in like the 4th game of the year. So I don't know how long you can continue to do this, where you look at a guy like Connor Joe, who 3 times this series pinch hit for Tellez and came away with a base hit. 3 times. So I don't know how, and I get it. Like, you want the lefty out there. You want to get Tellez going, but I mean, I don't see what Tellez provides ahead of Connor Joe right now. He's a better defender. He's a better hitter. So I don't know how much longer they can keep trotting this guy out. We've seen this before with the Pirates, where they invest in a guy, they want to run him out there and try to get them going for one reason or another. But if your main objective is to compete right now, I mean, Rowdy Tellez is hurting your team far more than he's helping it. And it's showing no signs of getting better right now. I know he barreled a couple of balls in this series, but I mean, warning track outs, they count as outs, Andrew. And we just haven't seen enough, in my opinion, for him to continue holding down this primary starting spot at first base. What's your ugly?
Yeah, no notes there on Rowdy. You covered it pretty thoroughly there. My ugly, I'm going with Aroldis Chapman. And, you know, Aroldis, obviously, this Thursday appearance, not his best, but it would be a lie to say that that's an aberration, that this has kind of been a trend recently. And correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the ERA now, yes, 6.75 on the year. After giving up a couple of earned runs, blowing another save, he's now 0-2 on the year. Chapman initially looked great. Had the one appearance, I forget exactly who it was against, if that was, it's not the Red Sox, it was the homestand before, it might have been.
Orioles.
Orioles homestand where you hit 101, stares the guy down, and we're like, that is vintage Aroldis Chapman. Unfortunately, recently for the Pirates, it has also been vintage Aroldis Chapman, but that's in the past 5-6 years version of him, where when it's off, it's off. When it's bad, it's really bad. And for the Pirates' sake, it's good that that's coupled with David Bednar kind of finding his stride, the last 3 games looking more like himself. But this team really needs all 3 of its back-end guys, and Holderman, Chapman, and Bednar to be firing on all cylinders. Right now, I think you could say it's probably 1.5 of those guys, with Bednar finding his way, sort of. You know, Holderman's been good, but the velocity is still down, and Chapman just hasn't looked like himself, at least recently. So some concerns about that back into the bullpen, specifically, of course, though, with Aroldis Chapman, and particularly with blowing this latest lead for the Pirates.
In his first 7 games as a Pirate, 5 scoreless innings, 9 strikeouts, 3 walks. In his last 5 outings, he has allowed a run, at least 1 run every time. He's allowed 6 earned runs. And that's in 3 total innings of work. So a lot of bad for Aroldis Chapman. You could say it is ugly. Andrew, you're out. Are you back on the West Coast?
I am, yeah. Back recording this in the childhood bedroom.
Look at that.
All the posters behind me. No Pirates posters. I'm sorry. I hate to bring it to the Pirates fans.
Hey, you're an unbiased journalist. So 3-game set against the Giants. What's your thing you're looking for here?
Yeah, I'm curious to see how they fare against a starting rotation in the Giants that actually hasn't really lived up to all of its expectations. It's had some good moments. Logan Webb has been great. Jordan Wicks, I'm really excited for that Saturday matchup where it's going to be him against Jared Jones, theoretically. 2 guys challenging to see who throws the ball hardest. That's going to be fun. But no, in all seriousness, I think, how does this rotation for the Giants stack up against the Pirates offense that has shown signs of life. Something's going to give. The rotation for the Giants is kind of underwhelmed. For the Pirates, the offense is underwhelmed until pretty much today, Thursday, as we record this podcast, at least in recent memory. So I'm curious to see what gives there. And defensively, this Giants team is not the best one. They've got some solid spots. You know, Patrick Bailey behind the plate is great. Matt Chapman at third has been great. But there's some soft spots there defensively, especially in the outfield. So I'm curious if, with, you know, kind of a lackluster rotation and pitching staff in general, if that's a get-me-good series for the Pirates, or does the downward spiral kind of continue? That's what I've got my mind on. How about you?
Giants have a team ERA of 4.74. That's second worst in the National League. So this, like, I agree with you, Andrew. This could be a get-me-right game. Just one focus for me is Joey Bart. This is a team that gave up on him, traded him to the Pirates for next to nothing, and he's back less than a month after that happened. I'd imagine he's pretty motivated right now, and he's playing some good baseball, and I think that we'll probably see him make at least one start out there, if not multiple. So that's what I have my eye on. Big thanks, as always, to North Shore Tavern, our sponsor. Hit that subscribe button if you have not already. Follow us both on X and follow our work at post-gazette.com. He's Andrew Destin. I'm Noah Hiles. Thanks, as always, for tuning in to the Post Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network. Take care.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.